What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 10:01 on a day after Christmas. Hope you all had a great holiday. Enjoyed yourself with your family and friends. I'm Devon Givens here with Andrew Salchunas with you until 2 o'clock. And for the midday guys, Anthony and Jason hanging out here on the day after, of course, a big time Sixers conversation piece as they fall yesterday to the Boston Celtics. Simply a bad loss. A bad loss yesterday in overtime. Final score 121-114. A lot of blame being tossed around yesterday on social media. A lot of blame being tossed around this morning on the morning show with D and Rob. And it was interesting yesterday sitting there watching that game. First of all, it's still good, still great to see your basketball team being featured as one of the top teams in the league on Christmas Day in a primetime spot, 5:30, hearing it right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And the theater of it all was fun. Would have been more, much, much more fun had they been able to come away with the victory up 98-91. And you're thinking, okay, maybe they can get this done. Furkan Korkmaz knocks down the three on the wing. The Celtics call a timeout. You know they're going to come back at some point and make a run, the Boston Celtics. And they did. And there were a lot of bad things that happened with the 76ers basketball team down the stretch as they faltered against the Celtics yesterday. Again, falling in overtime, just terrible. Falling in overtime, 121-114. Andrew and I have been talking about it since yesterday. We were talking about it this morning, getting ready for the show. And again, simply put, a terrible loss. And Andrew, just to start things off, man, first of all, good morning. Hope you had a good holiday yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Merry Christmas. I texted you that yesterday. I was like, oh, what an awful loss. Hey, yes. Merry Christmas, by the way.
For me, it was... There's a lot of fingers to be pointed yesterday at the Sixers. Number one, the star player in Ben Simmons. And his line read as such: 11 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 7 from the free throw line. Something that I always talk about with him. If people aren't familiar with me at night, something that I always point out with Ben Simmons is, if you're not going to shoot a jump shot, which we saw yesterday for the first time, a 22-footer with about 4 seconds left on the shot clock after a Jimmy Butler miss, gets the offensive rebound, nails the jumper from the wing, and still ugly, but he knocked it down, okay? When you're not going to shoot the jump shot, for me, Andrew, it's I need a higher percentage from the free throw line. I need at least 70% for him coming off of a 50, I think he shot 53, 55 somewhere last year. I needed him to elevate that if he's not going to shoot the jump shot. I've seen him make the jump shots. I know D. Lineham has been in the gym and seen him shoot jump shots. There have been plenty of people who've seen him work out before the games at the center where he's shooting jump shots and making them. There have been videos that have been just going around where you see this guy making jump shots. He's not ready to do that, okay? And we can talk about it, and we will talk about it forever and ever until he does it, minus the 22-footer that he made last night. I need better than 3 of 7 from the free throw line. I need 70% on the season and being able to be unafraid to go to the basket with regard to contact that's going to happen because you are 6'10", going 70 miles per hour at the rim, and they can't stop you. They have to foul you. I need better than that. And he is an all-world talent. He's an incomplete player, though, because he won't shoot the jump shot, and he cannot make his free throws. This is a problem for the team, and we know this. And right now with them 35 games in, sitting at 22-13, it's going to continue to be a problem. I don't like to talk about the jump shooting because he's not going to do it. And he's already said he's not going to do it.
It's not
going to
change.
When I had his dad on the air last year, his dad said he's going to shoot when he's ready to shoot. Well, the one thing when you see great coaches and very good players, star players, whatever it might be, the coach holds them accountable. You'll see Greg Popovich when stuff happens with his team. Yes, he has accountability. He can do these things. He'll go a wave of 5. Let me bring in 5 subs so I can yell at my starters. You sit down. This is more embarrassing than me screaming at you, perfectly honest with you, than bringing in these 5 guys. Let's see if they can turn things around. We see it from time to time with coaches who have that respect. And Brett Brown, does he have that respect? I don't know. But that said, at some point, I know they tell him to shoot. Brett Brown came out last year and talked about how the three things that he wanted him to work on in the offseason after the exit interview were finishing at the rim, making his free throws, and shooting that mid-range jump shot. No three-pointers. I don't care about a three-pointer. I don't need that. I just need a jump shot as a threat because the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat, a little, have put out the formula of let's build this wall. Let's build this wall. It's not the first time this happened in the NBA, but it works for him because the wall is there and he cannot do anything. And you saw when he's going 75 to 80 miles per hour down court because they cannot stop him. He's a gazelle running down that floor. But when he's going up and he's shooting a righty layup off the backboard and it doesn't even touch rim, it's like a basketball rebound drill. I'm texting with my cousin this morning, and it's a basketball rebound drill. You know how it was in practice? You get the ball, you throw it off, let's start the fast break and see what we can do. That's what he's doing. That's igniting the fast break for the Boston Celtics yesterday, who had 23 fast break opportunities, and I'm sure a few of them came off of those misses. So that's number one for me, and then we'll get to yours, Drew. Number two, Brett Brown. Until he figures out how to do certain things at the end of games, I understand where he's relegated to certain things with his bench. But you're in this game. This is a game that's going to go down to the wire. Are you going to call a timeout or are you not? And I'm certain that he did give them a play in the last timeout prior to the
35 seconds left. Call a timeout.
I'm sure he gave them an option. If they miss and we get the ball, tie score, this is what we're going to run. I don't have a problem with a 1-4 flat set with the 20 seconds remaining and Ben Simmons dribbling out the clock a little bit with Marcus Morris defending him. I don't have a problem with it. But what I don't want to see is a normal dribble handoff for J.J. Redick. That's your fourth option. Yes, he's the best shooter. It doesn't matter how you get the 1 or 2 points. You just get the point. Now, is Ben Simmons going to drive to the basket because we haven't seen it and get to the rim and get fouled and confidently step to the free throw line and make them? Chances are no. 3 of 7 again yesterday from the free throw line. I don't think he will, but Marcus Morris is a decent defender, but I also believe Ben Simmons can get by him and get to the rim. And if he does, if he goes strong to the basket and at least looks like he's going to do it, if he gets by him, someone's going to have to sag off. Maybe I have J.J. Shade out a little bit. So he is in a passing lane, which Ben Simmons has some weird angles that he can pass on. He's in a weird passing lane, hit J.J. for a jumper that may not be contested. Or the same for Jimmy Butler, because J.J. Redick is only available to do one thing off that dribble handoff, shoot. Jimmy Butler is available off the dribble handoff to either shoot or create. If I'm going to do that, that's the guy I'm going to bring to set that pick. Why not let J.J. Redick simply set a pick and get Gordon Hayward on Ben Simmons instead of Marcus Morris? And maybe that's an option of having now J.J. Redick or Marcus Morris, and that pump fake comes, he takes one dribble in, shoots, game over. We're talking about a win. Still stuff to complain about, but a win nevertheless, where we're talking about a 23-12 team instead of a 22-13 team. So that's Brett Brown and some of the play calling overall. And then third, the bench was just not good. Okay? The bench, 5-2, 3-3. That's what you got point total yesterday.
13 points off the bench out of your 114.
5 from Shamit, 2 from McConnell, 3 for Muscala, 3 for Korkmaz. 1 of 9 for Mike Muscala, 1 of 8 from behind the three-point line. It's just not going to get it done. It's just not going to get it done. You need more from your bench. You need more. 25 points to the Boston Celtics on their bench. But the other problem, 40 points from Kyrie Irving. That was the other reason why you lost yesterday. So there's a lot of stuff to go out there with this basketball game and how they lost yesterday. Again, in overtime, 121-114. And we were asking simply, where's more of the blame coming from? For me, it's four things. Ben Simmons, the bench, Brett Brown, and Kyrie Irving was just fantastic. Where, for you, does the blame more lie from the 76ers loss yesterday? We'll get Andrews when we come back as well. 610-632-0975. Tough loss for the Sixers yesterday, 22 of 13. People were going crazy because Ben Simmons knocked down a 22-footer. Forget all that. I needed more. I needed that win yesterday. It looked like it was going to be a runaway for the Celtics early. The Sixers fought their way back and put themselves in a position to win. They did not. They needed that win yesterday as a statement for themselves. Forget about us, but as a statement for themselves. And even Embiid again came out and pointed out how This is not a rivalry because we cannot beat the Boston Celtics. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with Andrew South. Tune us until 2 right here on Middays on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
O'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
1021, 97.5 The Fanatic, Andrew Salatunas, Devon Givens, Midday Show, here with you until 2 o'clock, 610-632-0975 as we dissect the Sixers' loss yesterday. Boston Celtics, Christmas Day game, 121-114. A lot of drama with that game, and we see Matt hanging on. Before we get to Matt to start things off, want to get Andrew's thoughts on everything overall, and we'll give our Twitter poll in a little bit. But, Drew, your thoughts. I've given out my reasons. What were your reasons and your frustrations from yesterday?
Well, first off, last night just sucked. I mean, the first quarter wasn't really the best for the Sixers, but that second and third quarter they scored, what, 38 points in the third quarter? So they had a really good two quarters right there, and then the fourth quarter is where they fell apart. And that's where, to me, it comes down to coaching. If you can't hold a lead, no matter what team you're facing, I get it, the Celtics have had the Sixers' number for the last couple of years now. That comes down to coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. J.J. Redick had an open look at the end from that dribble handoff.
Kind of.
But here's the deal, Devon. 4 minutes and 5 seconds left in the game, the Sixers, Joel Embiid, dunked. Then until the final second of the game, they scored 5 points. They scored 5 points in the final 4 minutes and 5 seconds of last night's fourth quarter. To me, when you have two timeouts, not just one, but two timeouts in a tie game with 18 seconds left. I get it. I played hoops growing up. Sometimes you don't want to get rid of momentum. You want to just, you grab the board. All right, tie game. Let's go. Let's try to get the game winning shot. Let's set up. But when you have not scored more than 5 points in the final 4 minutes of the game, to me, you call a timeout. And you set something up for one of your best scorers, which is either Jimmy Butler, who has already hit game-winning shots for you this year, or Joel Embiid, who had 36 points for you last night. I get it toward the end of the game, Embiid's usually gassed. But when you have 36 points out of your big man, and you have Jimmy Butler on the court, why run a dribble handoff for your fourth best option on the court? Everybody wants to say, yeah, well, you know what? J.J. Redick, one of the pure shooters on the team, had an open look, kind of, as you said. But when you only score 5 points in the final 4 minutes of the game, I'd rather you call a timeout and set something up, the best play that you can think of.
Yeah, and
that's coaching.
No, it is. And I understand that, again, thinking that they did set something up in the last timeout that the Boston Celtics called, that they put something together, they realized what was on the floor, they didn't want to allow them to do anything substitution-wise, so they just rolled with what they have. And again, I didn't have a problem with the 1-4 set that he had out there. I just didn't want to see the dribble handoff to J.J. Redick to really start things off, because you could have done so much more with so many other options, whether you went with Embiid, who was tired. I got it. Embiid was tired. But you would hope that he wants to redeem himself overall. Yes, the 34-16 that he had yesterday was phenomenal. 6 turnovers, a blemish on the stat line. But Butler, Embiid, Simmons driving to the basket himself, and of course Redick. And maybe you want Redick to be the third option before Simmons because of the free throw shooting that we talk about. But I didn't have a problem not calling timeout. I would have preferred a better play at that point, at that stage of the game.
I had a problem not calling a timeout because of the way that they had not been performing on offense.
Okay.
5 points in the last 4 minutes and 5 seconds. If you scored 15 points in that time and your offense is just hot, you say, yeah, go ahead, go, play. But when you can only score 5 points in the final 4 minutes and Boston just tied the game and you had two timeouts left with 18 seconds, I would rather you actually design something before you go on offense. Yes, you're right. They probably designed something when the Celtics call a timeout with about 35 seconds left. But when your offense is not playing smooth basketball like they were not in that fourth quarter, I'd rather you set something up at that moment.
No, we can ask the people that as well. Did you have a problem with Brett Brown not calling a timeout for the final possession of regulation? Would you have preferred to see him call a timeout to set something up that way? Or were you okay with what they had set out to do? We know the result was not what you wanted, but were you okay with what they set out to do? Final possession, ball in the hands, tie ball game. You have enough options scoring-wise to get something done. I was okay with it in terms of the idea of it. I'm okay with not calling a timeout, but I would have preferred something better for the 76ers in terms of what they ultimately ran. That dribble handoff just simply wasn't good enough for me. 610-632-0975. And I do want to throw out the Twitter poll before we start things off again with Matt on the phones. The poll of the day. Again, let me give you the question first at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. Who deserves most of the blame for last night's loss to the Celtics? And that, of course, is with Andrew and I here from 10 to 2 and for Anthony and Jason. You can call us at 610-632-0975. Your four options are Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, because he was just simply that good, dropping 40 points yesterday in 39 minutes of play, or the bench unit that only gave you 13 points. Yes, you got 34 from Joel Embiid, 24 from Jimmy Butler, a nice 15 from Wilson Chandler, and 17 from Redick, 11 from Ben Simmons. But again, it was not enough. You needed maybe more from the bench. Mike Muscala, only 1 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 8 from behind the three-point line. Of those four options, which one stands out for you? It's Brown, Simmons, Kyrie Irving, because he was just that good, or the bench? You can vote again at 975 The Fanatic, and we'll let you know how the results go. So far, it looks like we got 912 votes so far, Drew. And the poll of the day is brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation today at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com.
There's something about those results that kind of confused me.
Little, okay. What
the
is
the person who's getting the least amount to blame? And that's Ben Simmons.
Oh, okay.
And I know we can get into the results later on the show. And I knew that today is going to be the majority of people blaming Brett Brown. I feel like that happens a lot. Every time the Sixers lose, Brett Brown deserves blame. And deservedly so. Like, I'm upset that he did not call a timeout during the fourth quarter, during the final possession of that game. But when I see Ben Simmons 3 times yesterday have a fast break with one guy on defense trailing behind him.
3 times.
And instead of going strong to the net, he then sort of does what kids used to do in your CYO leagues. The kids that were afraid to get fouled or anything, they would then sort of jump to the right and just toss the ball up in the air.
It's a practice rebound drill.
You're right. But Ben Simmons is 6'10". Go to the hoop. I get it. Maybe he is concerned about shooting free throws, and he didn't shoot well last night from the free throw line. But you have a better shot at making a dunk and getting fouled and getting an N1 than you are going to try to get 2 points when you just throw the ball in the air like that when you're going 80 miles down the court.
Well,
and he only gets 13% of the vote.
Well, okay. Well, we'll update it after our first call to start things off again. Matt in Bethlehem. Matt, thanks so much, man. You're first on the midday show. What's going on, Matt?
Nice. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I've been here a few years, and I'm trying to be a 76ers fan. I'm a Celtics fan, but as far as Ben Simmons blaming him goes, it's kind of like when your kid eats too much candy at the movie theater and then throws up. Is it the kid's fault for eating the candy or the parents' fault for not controlling them? I think Brett Brown's the most to blame because I think the ball should go into Butler's hands at the end of the game. He's still a good passer. He can sit up there, he can shoot, and he can pass, he can drive, he can finish. It's just one-dimensional, and it takes away from the other strength. You know what I mean? I mean, predictability. It's very predictable, and the Celtics, they got it. So if you're seeing fastballs all day, it's time to throw a curve. You got to mix it up.
Yeah, you do have to mix things up a little bit, Matt. Again, just the dribble handoff simply at the end of the game, not enough. Ben Simmons and what he does, I would prefer him just go to the basket and, you know, try to get something at the rim, or at least try to kick it out to another teammate for an open opportunity. And real fast, you said you're a Celtic fan trying to transform into a Sixer fan.
No, well, see, what I mean is I'm diehard Boston, like Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, Patriots. But I love seeing Philadelphia and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I would love to see the 76ers beat to the championship. And I know, I know. I mean, I'll pull for the Celtics in the end, but
you have to.
That's the best of both worlds. I mean, I'm actually rooting. People don't understand, but I mean, I would love to play the Eagles in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, see, I would love to see the matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals, but never will I root for the Boston Celtics. Listen, Matt, hang on, man. You are on first for us. Appreciate it. Thanks. Today's first caller receives a tub of Golden Burg's peanut chews. You know what you want. You want these delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. And that, again, is Matt starting things off. He was on first on the midday show here with Andrew Salchunas and me here in for Anthony and Jason. 610-632-0975. We keep it moving on the phones. We check in with Vinny in West Philly on 97.5. What's up, Vin?
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Vin. I know where you're going.
It's not going to be a popular opinion. People probably listen. Elton Branch is strongly considered trading Ben Simmons. For two reasons. One reason, you can strengthen your bench and you can strengthen your starting lineup with him off the bench. We need a solid point guard. I know you like Dennis Smith Jr. I do what I do as well.
Some rumors out there, too, that they might be trying to trade him.
Yeah, would you consider a swap for Ben Simmons and Dennis Smith Jr.?
No, because I do know, as much as I like Dennis Smith, that Ben Simmons is a better player.
Well, when we say better player, that's fine. We talking about better fit. Devon,
yeah.
I tell you the better player don't mean the better.
Well, yeah, Dennis Smith as a point guard who can play both the one and the two at times. He can give you versatility at both guard positions. Of course,
right.
You know, I would appreciate a player like that because he is more of somebody that's probably going to set things up and can score for you and take a jump shot. I hear you.
That's all I'm saying to you, basketball wise. Like, everybody keeps saying Benson is better than it. Benson is not a good fit. If you look at, I've been watching, and B, in my opinion, don't like playing with this guy. I see him struggling. So, does this watch his body?
Oh, I've seen it. The body language between them two is not good right now.
Body language, it shows. He does not like playing with this guy. I'm telling you. I see it with my own eyes. I think Ben Simmons needs to be traded. People might say I'm crazy when I got this phone. That guy's ridiculous. But I'm telling you, he's not the right fit for our team, huh?
No, and listen, he is that talent that Vin is, as people say, that transcendent, that generational and all that stuff. Until he shoots that jump shot, and yes, he gives you 16, 9, and 8 on any given night because he's that good. Vin, good morning, man. Thanks again for calling in. I can't do it yet. I'm not there. He's incomplete. He is incomplete. I'm not going to sit here and act like he isn't because the lack of jump shooting is so glaring. And the free throw shooting, again, is so glaring that it is a problem. So when you start to talk about trying to entertain other trades, first of all, you're not going to go Dennis Smith. You're going to try to get something else.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, Damian Lillard. I was on the phone, screening the call. Did he really say trade Ben Simmons for Dennis Smith?
Yes. And again, he just said fit-wise basketball. You understand where he's coming from, but you want to go a little higher, Damian Lillard, something like that.
Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Now, I love Vinny. But he's also the biggest Nick Foles fan that I've ever spoken to. And right now, Vinny's living his dream right now. Nick Foles is playing real well. But I'm kind of confused. You'd rather have Nick Foles than Carson Wentz, and you'd rather trade Ben Simmons for Dennis Smith?
I know.
Come on, Vin.
I know. But
come on, Vin.
Me and Vin are in the Dennis Smith fan club, so.
No, I love Dennis Smith. I would have loved to have him in Philadelphia, but you're not going to trade Ben Simmons for him?
No.
Here's the other thing. I get it. Ben Simmons is not getting as much blame as I thought he would today. You're not trading the guy. Nobody's trading Ben Simmons.
No,
why are people calling? He's not the first guy that said that.
No.
Vinny's not the first caller to say, trade Ben Simmons. What do you get out of trading Ben Simmons?
Talent in return. That's what you get. I mean,
yeah, of course
logically, you are
going to
get talent in return. You're probably going to get, as he said, maybe a better fit because you're looking at it saying, I have Jimmy Butler at the two, J.J. Redick, whatever you want to call. Again, we're going positionless basketball outside of the five spot with Joel Embiid. But then we're going to have a more balanced overall lineup because Ben Simmons does not shoot. He is a talent at 6'10 as a point guard spot. And if he gets that jumper, he makes him and them, the team overall, that good. But until then, they're going to have these holes in his game and a hole in the team where these defenses can do certain things to defend them that's going to hurt the basketball team overall.
So right now, if you're Elton Brand, would you even listen to trade talks for Ben Simmons? I'm not ready for that at all.
If you call me with the right stuff, yeah, I would listen.
Well, who's the right stuff? I'm not saying LeBron.
Well, no, like Damian Lillard. I would. That would be a conversation.
You would consider that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love Damian Lillard. Don't get me wrong.
That would be a conversation for
me. But I don't think I'm ready to move on from Ben Simmons.
I didn't say I would do it. That would be a conversation for me that we're going to have a long talk about.
Have yes. a couple glasses of wine or something.
Whatever. We can talk about it. 610-632-0975. Jay and Sheltenham is next on the Midday Show. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on? Happy holidays,
man. Same to you, man. Good morning.
Devon, I'm lost, man. I'm lost.
I can't keep
following the same script every game. Me and my homies was watching it last night, and it was crazy. With 2 minutes and 19 seconds left in the game, we watched the set. We sitting there eating wings, watching the game, and I said, I guarantee you, this lead that we have, I think, Adrian, I think you pointed out, what was it, 98-91 or something
98-91, that was after the Furkan Korkmaz jumper. They called timeout, Boston Celtics did.
And I saw Ben Simmons walk to the scores table, and I said, I told my homies, watch this, how this plays out. When Ben, watch the plus minus when Ben Simmons comes in the game and see what happens. And he came in, he completely erased the lead. And you know what? I was panicking at that point because it looked the same way as game two last year. I think it was, game two last year where we had a chance to steal it in Boston when TJ shocked the world and had everybody on their heels in Boston, Marcus Smart and all of them. And then Brett Brown brings Ben Simmons back in the game, the lead evaporates, and we lose. Mm-hmm. And I start feeling the same thing. And so, you know, man, you know, my thing is this. I don't care if you didn't call the timeout. I don't have a problem with you not having faith in your players. But at the end of the game, you watch Portland. You watch Phoenix. You watch Denver. You watch Kemba Walker and Marvin Williams. You watch Jamal Murray and the Joker. The best point guard and the best shooter is running that pick and roll at the end of the game because they're going to make you make a decision. My thing is, what we should have done is, why did you bring Jimmy Butler here? He should not be standing in the corner the whole time for 19 seconds while the clock runs down. Him and Embiid need to be in the pick and roll making Boston make a decision.
And even if you didn't have Embiid Butler there, Jay, with the pick and roll, Butler Simmons pick and roll works. It worked earlier in the game where they had a pick and roll set up. They had it where Ben Simmons rolled after the pick and they got a dunk out of it. You have options. You could have done it that way. I love J.J. Redick. He's one of my favorite players to watch, but I just thought that one, Jay, thanks for the call, was not the right call there for a dribble handoff. It just simply was not. Was not. And I know Brett Brown's going to get a lot of blame, as Andrew pointed out. He did not like the call at the end, 20 seconds to go, no timeout, and that's that.
It's not just the final play. When I look at the fourth quarter box score, just the fourth quarter, and even though Wilson Chandler had a nice game yesterday,
15 points.
Wilson Chandler should never have the most points for your team in the fourth quarter. He had 10 last night in the fourth quarter alone. Butler, 0. Embiid, 2. Redick, 1. Simmons, 3. So the combination of Butler, Embiid, Redick, and Simmons does not even add up to what Wilson Chandler had yesterday in the fourth quarter. That comes down to coaching because you're not designing plays for your best players on offense. That Wilson Chandler 3 that he hit, it was one of the biggest shots of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a design play. He played good defense on Kyrie on one end. They drove down to the other end of the court, and Wilson Chandler was just opening at the 3. It was a good play all the way around, but that wasn't drawn up.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not draw up enough plays where your best players on offense don't even score in the fourth quarter?
Let me see how many turnovers. They had 4 turnovers in the fourth quarter. Celtics had 4 turnovers in the fourth quarter. As you said, Wilson Chandler, 3 of 5 from the floor, 2 of 2 overall from behind the 3-point line, 2 free throws as well. He was really good. 2 points from Embiid, 1 of 4, 0 of 1 from 3. 3 turnovers. They blitzed him quite a few times, and he didn't handle it well enough, as we talk about. 1 point for J.J. Redick. He missed a free throw as well, and you know he gets on himself hard about that. 0 of 4, 0 of 3. Butler, 0 of 2. Ben Simmons, 1 of 2. And 3 points in that quarter. Furkan Korkmaz was that big 3, as we pointed out, to make it 98-91. That was the fourth quarter for the Sixers.
In the fourth quarter, Wilson Chandler took the most shots. That can't happen.
3 of 5.
I get it. You go to the hot hand. I get it.
No, it wasn't that he was hot. It was that he was open. So he took the shots.
But you don't. You got to design plays where your best players are taking the shots.
Well, it doesn't mean that they didn't. But again, 1 of 4 for Embiid and the 3 turnovers.
Yeah, that's bad. 3 turnovers is bad. So Joel Embiid does deserve some blame today.
So that means he was 1 of 4 on the possessions that he shot the ball, but on another 3 possessions, he turned the ball over. So that was negated right there because he didn't get a shot off, or the team didn't get a shot off.
I hear that. But and then that's not just Brett Brown. That's also the whole, I mean, Ben Simmons, again.
That's recognition team-wise as well on the floor.
Wilson Chandler can't have the most points for you in the fourth quarter. When you have a lead, and then when that lead is dwindling, and then you no longer have that lead.
Still should have won the game.
You got to win that game, but you got to put it in the hands of your best players.
Not true. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But again, when you have the four turnovers, and Boston had their four turnovers as well, but they were able to get three more points out of whatever was going on out there to tie the game and make sure they go into the overtime period, you have to find a way as the best player when the double team comes where you can't get yourself caught dribbling to the corner when they blitz you. And now you have not only the players against you, the Boston Celtics, but the sideline as well. And now you turn the ball over, which ignites a fast break opportunity for the Boston
Celtics.
Right.
You and I watched,
to be better.
You and I watched one of the plays before the show started when they did double team Embiid. He missed Butler cutting baseline. He would have had Jimmy Butler for an open look on
and
the baseline.
Jimmy Butler missed Ben Simmons wide open after he slid down to the post off of another one where he was able to get away from it and get down there, find a way to cut to the basket wide open for about 2 seconds. All he had to do was left hand bounce pass or left hand drill it, which we've seen these players do because they're very talented, and that would have been an easy bucket for Ben Simmons. So they missed a lot. A lot of it was self-inflicted. A lot of it was Brett Brown as well. Ben Simmons, 610-632-0975. Who deserves most of the blame for the loss yesterday against the Celtics? Our options at 975 The Fanatic on our Twitter poll. Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, because he was just that good, or the bench, only 13 points off the bench. Scotty, we start with you on the other side. Everybody else, sit tight. 610-632-0975. 25 minutes commercial free after Andrew's update right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Skip. Hello. Good morning. Devon Givens, Andrew Salchunas with you. In for Anthony and Jason here on the Midday Show. 610-632-0975. We're having some fun talking about some Sixers hoops. Normally I do this at night, especially after a game like last night. Go in the post until midnight, but I have the opportunity of doing that. 10 to 2 here with my man Andrew and you guys as well. Once again, 610-632-0975. Drew, we do have the poll at 975 The Fanatic. We've mentioned it already a couple of times. Who deserves more of the blame for last night's loss to the Celtics? Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, because he was just that good, or the bench production or lack thereof with 13 points. Where are we looking right now? What are we looking like?
Well, as I expected, Brett Brown is getting most of the blame, and he deserves blame for today, and he's getting 42%, 28%. This is surprising to me. Okay. They're sort of giving the Sixers the benefit of the doubt today. 13 points off the bench.
Okay.
So I'm guessing they're saying, you know what, the bench just stinks, and that's why they couldn't beat the Celtics. And then Ben Simmons and Kyrie are both getting 15% of the vote.
Now, when we talked about the Kyrie angle of this before we get back to the phones again, you were looking at me like, should we throw Kyrie in there? I'm like, dude, he had 40 points.
Yeah, because it's almost like, all right, the Sixers lost that game last night. It's not that the Celtics beat the Sixers. To me, the Sixers lost that game last night. And even though Kyrie did have 40 points, I almost wanted to look to blame someone than to give somebody else credit. But you're right. Kyrie had 40 points last night. And we were texting back and forth about Kyrie last night.
And here's my point to that, right? Yes, the Sixers lost the game. Yes, the Boston Celtics won the game. So it goes hand in hand. But big time players, as we're talking about, why is Wilson Chandler, to your point, taking five shots in the fourth quarter? Why is it not someone else named Simmons, Butler, or Embiid? Your guy in Kyrie Irving hits a tough turnaround in the lane where Jimmy Butler played great defense on him, made him take a tough shot where it did not drop in clean. It had to hit the rim and bounce in, right? Then he comes back, heat checks with like 30 seconds left and drills a three, right?
From a couple steps behind the arc.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why he's on this poll.
I looked up his numbers.
Because he's that good.
I looked up his numbers in a Celtics uniform. That was probably his second best game of his career in the green jersey.
Can I give you his first quarter stats? Yeah, go ahead. Sixers lost that quarter by 7 points. Kyrie Irving, 7 of 11, 2 of 4 from 3, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 16 points in 11 minutes and 30 seconds. He played the whole quarter, basically. Didn't play 30 seconds of the first quarter. 16 points. That's how good he was.
He took advantage, and he knew he was on the big stage, so he took advantage. That 47 points that he scored a couple months ago was against the Raptors, right? Big game, big stage, he steps up.
Yep.
He scores 40 points against the Sixers last night, helps them come back from behind and win. And Jimmy Butler did play some pretty good defense in the final couple minutes of the game against Kyrie.
Yep.
But to me, I'm not just going to sit here and say, you know what, I'm giving all the credit to Kyrie. I'd rather blame. I would, because you're not calling timeouts.
I hear
with
you.
The final 4 minutes and 5 seconds, not even just the final play, Devon. You did not call a timeout in the final 4 minutes and 5 seconds when you had two left and you scored a total of 5 points in that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about this big three that we have on the court?
Five. I heard people saying Ben Simmons is not a star.
He is.
Not a superstar. I'm not even, because he's not a superstar in my opinion yet. But he is a star.
He is. This is what I label Carson Wentz. He is a future elite quarterback. Ben Simmons is a future elite talent. He will one day be there. He's not there yet, and that's okay. He's only in his second year. So there is still a lot to grow for Ben Simmons. And yes, hitting a jump shot is one thing where he's got to learn, and taking free throws and making free throws. And driving to the net and not jumping
with
out to your right.
With a goal to make the basket.
Yes, with a goal to make the basket. And if you get fouled and you miss the shot, you get two shots.
After two of them, he did look at the refs and put his arms out like, yo, where was the call? Are you not getting the call when you're fading away from the basket?
Was the ghost fouling you? Come on now.
And he had contact, but still. 610-632-0975. So those are your options. At 975, the Fanatic on Twitter. Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, because he was just that good. 13 points off the bench so far. Over 1,300 votes. Plenty of time for you guys to get in there and vote as well. Ben Simmons, not in the lead. Brett Brown in the lead, who takes most of the blame. Let's go back to the phones. Sean in South Jersey is next on the Midday Show. Sean, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. You know, Merry Christmas, first of all. Hope
same
you guys
to
are
you.
Doing the holiday. So, you know, I'm a season ticket holder, me and my cousin. So, you know, I'm at the games. I watch the games. And, you know, yesterday I've noticed that no one brought up is, you know, when they made their run to come back to Boston, that was without the big three on the court. You know, that was
right.
With TJ, Furkan, and having those guys out there. And then when they had Boston took that timeout, Brett literally substituted all five of them and put the five on the court.
He brought
and they
the wave
the
in.
Lead.
Yeah, he brought
blew
the wave
lead.
In.
He took out what? And then, you know, I listened to D Lineham in the morning talking about Ben isn't a liability. Ben is a huge liability in the last 2 minutes, because what does he bring to the table in the last 2 minutes? Can't shoot, can't make a free throw. So what is he bringing to the table in the last 2 minutes for you?
Well, I didn't hear that part. Maybe that's when Andrew and I were talking in the back, but I'll let Dee defend herself on that one, only because I didn't hear it. But you're at 98-91, Furkan Korkmaz hits the three-pointer from the wing from T.J. McConnell. Then the subs came in. Here are your subs. Landry Shamet for McConnell, Butler for Redick, Simmons for Embiid, Muscala for Korkmaz.
Yeah.
That's to your point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it was really disappointing with that. Like, Brett Brown, I said last year when they lost to Boston to get rid of him, because I knew he can't coach the elite teams, can't beat the elite teams. Brett Brown, like, his mistakes are just, it's the same thing over and over again. And the fact that no one is, like, seeing that, like, I would have never put Ben Simmons back in the fourth quarter. If you can sit Fultz and let him sit that, why don't you leave TJ in there? TJ helped you bring you back.
Hold
right?
on, Fultz. What's Fultz have to say that again?
Why wouldn't you leave TJ in as your point guard? Why would you bring Ben in at the end of the game?
Because he still is Ben Simmons, Sean. Thanks so much, and does plenty of stuff for you. Where again, he is a matchup nightmare if he is in that aggressive mode. And the aggressive mode wasn't there because they decided to run that dribble handoff. I'm still bringing Ben Simmons. I didn't get the connection
Fultz
with
Fultz. I think he may have been talking about the playoffs last year.
In the past. Okay. Okay.
You brought in TJ and you sat Fultz. I get that. But if you're going to tell me TJ over Ben, I know TJ's like a gnat on defense. He's always there and he's kind of annoying to players, which is probably a good thing. But Ben Simmons is still 10 times the better defender.
Yeah,
it's not just on offense about Ben Simmons. He's 10 times the defender than TJ McConnell.
Yeah, I'm not keeping him just out. You know what I'm saying? No, he's going to be in there. I have to bring him in there. The problem there is you have two non-shooters in Simmons and McConnell. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.